Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Hi, this is Diego Aparicio from Fred Film Radio. We're on a sunny yet slightly windy Lido at the Venice International Film Festival, now in its 76th edition. And I'm here today with...
Dag Johan Haugerud.
Which I would not be able to pronounce otherwise. Thank you, Doug. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So Doug is presenting his feature film Beware of Children at the Giornata degli Autori this year. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the official competition made up of 11 titles. How does it feel to be in Venice with your feature, Doug?
It's really great to be in Venice with the film. I haven't been presenting a film for such a big festival before, so it's quite new to me. But it's very nice to be here.
Terrific. Mm. Congratulations for that success.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're presenting the film tonight for the very first time in front of an audience, I understand.
Yeah. Mm. And that's quite a nervous achievement, I think, will be.
So let's talk a little bit about the plot of your film, without giving too much away, hopefully. So the film focuses on 13-year-old children that find themselves in a very underexplored predicament. So yeah. I feel that the story is centered on moral ambiguity and what it means to have an intention to hurt someone or kill someone in this case. You've placed two children at the center of your story, the son of a right-wing politician who is accidentally killed on the playground at a school by the daughter of a left-wing politician. That's a very interesting choice of protagonists. Do you want to tell us a bit about why you chose those particular ones?
Yeah, when you present it like that, it may sound a bit tabloid, because the opposites are so clear in a way. But what we wanted to do was to try to make a film about politics without not being too tabloid, really. To try to see how politicians are behind their quite hard rhetorics. So that was one of the main aim. But there are so many different themes on the film. So that's just one theme.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's also centered... around a kind of a Romeo and Juliet plot.
Absolutely. Forbidden love kind of situation.
And two families who are opposites. Although in this case it's politicians, because he is right-wing and she is left-wing. And then I wanted to explore how, you know, I don't know if that's just a presumption that I have, but I find that quite often left-wing people think of themselves as the good people, the human people. And I think of the right-wing people as bad people. And it might sound like that when you hear right-wing people speak in parliament or in medias and so on. But when they are at home in their environment, they are probably much more nuanced. So I wanted to show that. And also, but at the same time, show how our political opinions inflicts on the way we choose things in everyday life. And how we look at things.
Yeah. Mm. Such as partners, for example.
Yeah, for example.
So at one point, as the story unfolds, you present this notion of he's not racist, but he accepts that his voters are. And this is for the right-wing politician. Do you have anything to comment on that? Is this particularly relevant to today's Norway, for example? Or
I think that for 10 years ago, people wouldn't tolerate right-wing politicians in the way they do today. People have been much more tolerable of that kind of opinions. So there's a lot of racism in the political debate that we wouldn't accept 10 years ago, but today we accept it. And it has become a part of our everyday language in a way. So you can see that racist terms are... You can listen to children at school that are using racist term that I don't think they would have used 10 years ago. So the acceptance for racism, I think, has been stronger in society. And that's kind of scaring, I think. Not kind of, it is scaring.
I was wondering, you know, what made you want to tell this story? And how come you chose children specifically? Because it's, I don't think these are heroes we see often portrayed in that way.
No. But it's not really a film about children. even though it has children in the title. It is more a film about how we, what we want the children to be in society today, how we as parents or grown-ups are, what kind of role we are giving them, really. And it is, I wanted to take the term children and approach it in as many different ways as I could, because it's many ways to treat that term on. So I wanted to talk about how it is to be a child today, how it is to be a parent, how it is to be a teacher, and I also wanted to maybe discuss when you are going from being a children to being a grown up.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you a grown up? It's a legal definition. In Norway, you are grown up when you're 18, but at the same time, older people than that are behaving like children. And so I wanted to, I was thinking a lot about that as well. And I was having some discussions with people that was about when you consider yourself as a grown up and what it is that makes a child a grown up person. Is it about having responsibility, the will to have a responsibility for yourself or others, maybe? Yeah, I don't know. But we are touching upon all these questions in the film, although we are not discussing them in very deep.
But I think it's an interesting pace. You know, you choose to give the audience time to sort of take everything in, because you have all these characters that who you're exploring.
Mm-hmm.
You have the teachers, the principal of the school, some of the teachers' partners, some secret, some, you know, not. And I think through every different relationship, you know, you shed some light on how everyone perceives children and what they should be, as you were saying earlier. Something I liked in the structure was that you come back to this goalpost where the accident happens. So it's as if you're presenting it with different bits of missing information every time. And you're coming back to this idea that it's about perspective and what part of the story Like, the 13-year-old girl accused of murder, let's say, is coming back to, because she presents a slightly different version of the story depending on who she's talking to.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's an important topic in the film. Would you like to say a bit more on that?
You are analyzing it quite good, I think. But we wanted to use the accident as the main character, really, because it's so many characters in the film. And we thought that if we are going to get through with this, we can't just focus on one person. That would be quite a different film. So we were thinking that the accident is the main character here. And that is why we all the time come back to the goal to remind the audience on what is the main core here. And also we wanted to keep a distant, kind of shoot it in a wide, quite distant way. So you as an audience can participate by observing more, but not really
getting too attached
to any of them. Maybe towards the end, because if you don't attach yourself emotionally, I think you need that in the film. In the end of the day, you need to feel emotional, but it's very hard to know how to balance that, because it's not shot as a documentary, but we are, I think we were thinking a bit like documentarists, that we just wanted to stand back and observe.
Yeah, it does have that feel. You're absolutely right. Can I ask how long it took you to develop this story as an idea?
It didn't take long at all. I wrote the first draft in a couple of weeks maybe, but then it took very long to get it financed and to get it made. And I made several versions as well, because the first version was very, very much longer. And we went much deeper into each character. So how to balance it without not taking anyone out was quite a tough job, which I spent a lot of time on. But I think it took 5 years before we got the money. But as I said, the first draft was very quick. quickly written.
Well, that's a plus on your side. At least if you get things written fast, then you can start convincing people afterwards. I feel like there are some very catchy quotes throughout the film. And some of them are slightly existential, slightly philosophical, perhaps. How would you summarize, you know, the film in a sentence or two?
Oh, I can't do that. Because that's too hard. I must have been thinking about it for quite a long time to come up with a sort of catchphrase. But actors were reading it, they thought it was a comedy.
Because it's that's surprising. Okay.
Because it's written in that kind of way, and they had to act it out quite differently. They couldn't act on the comedy.
Yeah.
But I think if you... In Norwegian, a lot of the dialogue sounds quite comical. Although it's very everyday language, but, you know, it is... We haven't talked about that, but in the end, it is also a film about language, how we talk to each other, how we choose the words we use, and there is a discussion throughout the film how to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that is...
Playing it safe or being considerate about, you know, other people's feelings and...
And also that the words we use are defining how we are looking upon things.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this on your film today, Doug. I wish you the very best for tonight's presentation of the film.
Thank you.
Which is having its world premiere at the Giornata degli Autori. From the Venice International Film Festival, this is Diego Aparicio, and you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.